On 15th June 2006, Alexander Pichushkin was arrested after the body of Marina Moskalyova was found in Bitza Park. First, there was the Wolf of Moscow in the 1920s, then the Rostov Ripper in the 1980s. Now, Russian police say that they have arrested a man, arguably the most prolific serial killer in post-Soviet Russia, called the Bitsevsky Maniac. People in the neighborhood of Kherson'skaya Street in Moscow were terrorized as there was an alarming number of dead bodies found in the park nearby. Many of the victims were attacked in a similar fashion, where they were struck by a blunt force at the back of their head. This was found to be a similar case with Marina Moskalyova. The authorities began their investigation and managed to find a metro ticket in her possession. This led them to review the surveillance footage from the Moscow metro system. Just hours before her death, she was seen walking on the platform accompanied by Pichushkin. The police have also found that she had left a message before she went for the walk. The message was to tell her son that she was out for a walk in the park with Pichushkin to visit his dog's grave. Initially, he was arrested as a suspect, but soon after, he admitted for being responsible for the disappearance of many of the residences in the neighborhood between the years 1992 and 2006. He admitted that he was on a killing spree, killing as many as 60 people. The murder of 36-year-old Marina Moskalyova was his last, and in 2007, he was sentenced to life in prison. Pichushkin grew up on 2 Kherson'skaya Street in Moscow, a 6-minute walk from the north end of Bitsevsky Park. He lived there with his mother, younger half-sister, her husband, and their son in a 2-bedroom apartment on the 5th floor. This house is a typical example of Khrushchevy, the Soviet Union's first large-scale public housing project. When Pichushkin was little, he was remembered to be a polite and sociable child. Pichushkin's neighbor, Svetlana Mordyakova, remembers the future serial killer as a pleasant young man and someone who loved animals. She once found him in tears in the stairwell of the block of flats they shared, speechless with grief over the death of his cat. However, this changed overnight following an incident in which Pichushkin fell backwards off of a swing, which then struck him in the forehead as it swung back. The damage had a permanent effect on Pichushkin's demeanor, as the part of the brain that is responsible for regulating impulse and aggression was affected. Experts speculate that this is what caused Pichushkin to be aggressive and violent as he grew older. Since Pichushkin was still a child, the damage would have been more severe, as a child's forehead provides only a fraction of the protection for the brain than an adult's. Was once thought to be pleasant and empathetic towards animals, have now become hostile and violent. The drastic change in his demeanor had many of his classmates bully him, both physically and verbally, referring to him as that retard. With the increasing difficulty of assimilating into mainstream society, his mother soon decided to transfer him to one for children with learning disabilities. Due to these complications, it was believed to play a role in intensifying Pichushkin's rage and hostility. Almost everyone had given up on him, except for Pichushkin's maternal grandfather. Upon reaching early adolescence, Pichushkin's grandfather recognized that he was highly intelligent. He felt that his innate talents were being wasted, as he wasn't involved in any activities at home. The school wasn't helping him either, as he was enrolled in an institution that focused more on overcoming his disability rather than promoting his achievement. Pichushkin's grandfather took him to live in his home and encouraged him to pursue intellectual pursuits outside of school. In many of his pursuits, he had a deep interest in playing chess. Pichushkin was taught how to play and was introduced to the exhibition games against elderly men who played publicly in Bitsa Park. It turned out that Pichushkin was an outstanding chess player. And, for the first time, and in a long time, he was recognized for who he is as a person. Thanks to his loving grandfather, he became normal again. At this point in his life, at the very least, life was manageable. However, in a blink of an eye, the person who was dearest to him had suddenly passed away. He suffered an immense emotional blow and became lost, not knowing how to handle the passing of his grandfather. He resorted to numbing his pain by drinking excessively. Petrushkin was left to return to his mother's home and continued to play chess both at home and in the exhibition games in Vitsa Park, joining the others in drinking vodka. It was at this time that Petrushkin began to develop a more sinister hobby that, at the time, remained unknown to anyone. He had developed a sadistic pleasure in seeing other people suffer, and his first victims were children. He would bring a video camera along with him, and whenever he came into contact with children, he would threaten them. On one disturbing and alarmingly prophetic occasion that has since been made public, he held a young child by one leg upside down and said to the camera, "You are in my power now. I'm going to drop you off from the window, and you will fall 15 meters to your death." He then watched these videos repeatedly to reaffirm his power. However, after a while, this practice was no longer sufficient to satisfy his urges. Russian media has speculated that Petrushkin was motivated in part by a macabre competition with another notorious Russian serial killer, Andrei Chikatilo, also known as the Rostov Ripper, who was convicted in 1992 of killing 53 children and young women over a 12-year period. "It was all the same to me who I killed. I killed for the sake of the process itself. And for the record, I wanted to kill as many people as possible and to beat Chikatilo's record." Petrushkin has an aim to kill 64 people, the number of squares there are on a chessboard. This is why he is also called the chessboard killer. In the end, he managed to only kill 61 people and never did reach his goal. After he was arrested, he said that even if he had reached his goal of killing 64 people, he would have still continued killing indefinitely had he not been stopped. Petrushkin committed his first homicide when he was 18 on 27th July 1992, the same year when the police convicted Andrei Chikatilo of mutilating and killing 52 people. His first victim was one of his classmates, Mikhail Odichuk. He invited Odichuk on a killing expedition, telling him openly that he wanted to kill someone and suggested that they cooperated in the act. Odichuk had tagged along, probably not quite sure what to expect. Along the way, Odichuk became increasingly reluctant, probably realizing the severity of the crime they were about to commit. And when Petrushkin realized that Odichuk was not so serious about killing, he killed Odichuk instead. During his trial, Petrushkin told the courts, "A first killing is like your first love. You never forget it." His second and third murder happened during the same year where his friend Sergei had started dating his girlfriend, whom he had just recently broke up with. The authorities have ruled that Sergei's death was a suicide. However, Petrushkin attested otherwise, saying that he was the one responsible for his death, along with his girlfriend Olga. Petrushkin didn't continue killing until 2001, when he reportedly made a list of acquaintances he intended to murder. "The closer the person is to you, the more pleasant it is to kill them. It's more emotional." In 2001, he stepped up his crime. Petrushkin targeted primarily elderly homeless men by luring them that he was grieving after the death of his dog. He would then invite his new acquaintances for a drink in the woods at the dog's grave, then drink vodka with them before bettering them to death. he would throw them down in the sewers in the park. Eventually, he changed the way he killed his victims. He said, "The fact that the victims had disappeared has no longer been able to satisfy me. I needed more emotions." After this, he found satisfaction by killing his victims with repeated blows to their head with a hammer. This would create a gaping wound, which Pichushkin would force a vodka bottle into their skull. This pattern of murder became his trademark. He would always attack from behind in order to take the victim by surprise and to avoid spilling blood on his clothes. Vera, one of Pichushkin's neighbors, recalled that several of his victims were his neighbors. Two middle-aged loners, Vladimir Konovaltsev and Viktor Volkov, disappeared in 2005. 54 years old Volkov had walked out of his apartment one morning to get a drink of vodka and vanished. A few days later, we heard that another neighbor, Andrei Kudryatsev, disappeared as well, recalled Vera. There was a period, we now realize, when Pichushkin was killing almost every single day as if it was his work. Viktor, who lives in the next building and lost a schoolmate and neighbor, Oled Bayarov, to Pichushkin's murder spree. "Pichushkin never hung out with us neighbors openly in the courtyard," said Viktor. "He tried to come to people's house and talk to them about life. He would invite people to come with him to the park. Pichushkin killed people from almost every building on the street. The neighborhood is still terrified." Because he was abandoned by his father when he was little and his grandfather passed away, psychologists speculate that there is a correlation between the age of his victims and his reported childhood abandonment. This is why many of his victims are homeless seniors, even though he targets young men, children, and women. Other reasons are probably because, out of convenience, because alcoholics and drug addicts are vulnerable and are not immediately missed. Some killers take souvenirs from their victims, such as small personal items like jewelry or organic trophies like body parts, whilst others recreate an homage to their murders. According to forensic psychologists, a serial killer keeps some kind of souvenir to maintain the bridge between his dream desires and the reality of acting out his fantasy. In Pichushkin's case, he kept a small notebook in his pocket on which he had sketched out the layout of a chessboard. Each square had a date written in it that corresponded to one of his alleged murders. At the time of his arrest, he had filled in approximately 61 of the 64 squares on the chessboard. The mass killer was convicted of killing 49 victims, although his own claim suggests his bloody tally is nearer 60. According to the documentary Serial Killers, once Pichushkin was apprehended, he was told to demonstrate his murders to the police, a regular part of Russian criminal investigation where the killer reenacts in great detail his murders at the site where the murder took place. He revealed how he repeatedly smashed the head of his victims using a hammer at the back of their head and the site where he threw his victims down into the sewers underneath Bitsa Park. They originally arrested him only for the murder of Marina Moskalyova, but he confessed, on air, to having killed at least 60 other people. Media outlets broadcasted the confession nationally, allowing Russian citizens to hear Pichushkin's criminal mindset firsthand. He claimed that while killing people, he felt like God, as he was the one decided whether his victim should live or die. "In all cases, I killed for only one reason. I killed in order to live, because when you kill, you want to live." He continued, "For me, life without murder is like life without food for you. I felt like the father of all these people, since it was me who opened the door for them to another world." Experts at the Serbsky Institute, Russia's main psychiatric clinic, have found Pichushkin sane but suffering antisocial and narcissistic personality disorder. Pavel Ivanikov, Pichushkin's lawyer, blamed slack police work for the fact that his client was at large for so long. "Over the last 15 years, my client murdered dozens of people," says Ivanikov. Sometimes, it seems that police forget that they are supposed to catch criminals. Russian police do not do their job. Instead, they are busy with things that I won't mention. People living in Russia know exactly what they are. The issue is not the lack of resources, explains Ivanikov, since the Russian Ministry of Internal Affairs has enough money and people, and their number now is no less than in Soviet times. Yet, it took the police a decade to catch Andrei Chikatilo, Russia's most prolific serial killer, who was executed in 1994 for the murder of 53 women and children, and 15 years to catch Pichushkin. My client has confessed that he committed his first murder in 1992. Yet, the police only managed to catch him only now, says Ivanikov. Even my client is ashamed of the police's laziness. He was convicted of 48 murders and 3 attempted murders the following year he was arrested, which was on the 24th of October. He asked a Russian court to add an additional 12 victims to his body count, bringing his claimed death toll to 60, and 3 surviving victims. During his trial, as with Andrei Chikatilo, Pichushkin was housed in a glass cage for his own protection and the safety of others. In 1996, Russia changed legislation to no longer allow the death penalty, unlike Chikatilo, who faced execution in 1994. The court sentenced Pichushkin to life in prison. He is currently serving the first 15 years of his sentence at the Arctic penal colony, Polar Owl, in solitary confinement. There's a lot more that I didn't cover in this episode, such as the interview he had with the Russian tabloid Tvoi Den and his marriage proposal to an admirer who claimed it was love at first sight. If you'd like to read more about the stuff that I mentioned just now, do check out the links in the description box below. As always, do leave a like on this video and share it with your friends. If you haven't subscribed, make sure to click the subscribe button below and also press the bell so you won't miss future updates. Stay safe and have a great day.